Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Before I introduce you to today's guests and thank our sponsors, I would be remiss not to mention what's happening in the world and to just say to you that whatever you're going through and wherever you are right now, these are unprecedented times, and you know we're all being given an opportunity to face some of our greatest fears. I know personally I had to take a little pause button this weekend and took 24 hours of silence because I just needed a little pause from all the news and unfortunately the sad things that are happening in the world. And we have this opportunity though to come together and to support one another, and that's what the show has always been about. It's been about helping you find your purpose, helping you to connect to your highest and best good. And I think during these times, more so now than ever, it's so important that we continue to do that and that we continue to uplift and support one another. So thank you so much for tuning in today. And thank you to our sponsors, the people over at Markham Search LLC. They make the show possible week on, every single week. So without them, this wouldn't be possible. And they do offer wonderful recruiting services throughout the United States. Today, it was funny, my guest Joseph McCormick and I were talking offline. We were laughing a little bit because we had booked him as a guest a couple of months ago, and never has a guest been more apropos than my guest today, Joe McCormick. He is the author of Noise, Living and Leading When Nobody Can Focus. He is passionate about helping people gain clarity when there is so much competing for our attention. He is a successful marketer, entrepreneur, and author. His first book, Brief, Make a Bigger Impact by Saying Less, set the standard for concise communication. Joe is the founder and managing director of The Brief Lab, an organization dedicated to teaching professionals, military leaders, and entrepreneurs how to think and communicate clearly. His clients include Boeing, Harley-Davidson, Microsoft, MasterCard, DuPont, and select military units and government agencies. He publishes a weekly podcast called Just Saying that helps people master the elusive skills of focus and brevity. Thanks so much for joining us today, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, as I was just saying, I mean, what an apropos time for this topic about the noise in our lives, you know, the noise in our minds, the noise in the world, the noise on the news. Talk to us, Joe. Tell us, A, how did this become your passion? And then let's dive into how can we begin to navigate the noise in the world right now?
Well, it's not easy under normal circumstances.
That's optimistic.
Under normal circumstances, it's difficult because we live in an age where there's a lot of things competing for our attention. There's so many options moment to moment of where I can place my attention and where what I can think about. And people spend an inordinate amount of time consuming information. It's because it's readily accessible. So what inspired me to write the book is I'd written a book called Brief, and it was all about the importance of being clear and concise and intentional when you communicate. And part of the backdrop of that is you need to do that because if you don't, nobody will hear you. So what inspired me to write Noise was just how difficult, but at the same time, possible it is for people to start managing all these various things that compete for our attention moment to moment.
I love that. And so, Joe, let's talk about right now, these moments, this time. What can we be doing to navigate? Navigate's the only word that I can think of when it comes to the inordinate amount of noise we have. I know I have many, many friends who are at home with their children, their family. I have one friend who has 7 people living in a household between her parents-in-law and her 4 children and her significant other. And then you have people who are also simultaneously trying to balance their children's schooling and their work life. What does that look like to navigate that?
Well, first and foremost, the feeling is real. People feel helpless. We're in unprecedented times where there's a lot of things that are on your mind, financial, personal, professional. There's just there's a long list, and it just got longer. And people feel helpless. You want to feel informed. You want to be up to speed on what's happening. But the environment just got, it was noisy to start with, and it just got noisier. So there is a sense of helplessness. There is many things that people can do to lower the volume. And my message is it needs to be one of encouragement and being practical, because we're surprisingly in this situation when you feel helpless, people go, well, there's nothing I can do. And the answer is no, there is actually many things that we can do. If we use the metaphor of just noise, sound, like imagine if you're watching television or music and the volume is too loud. Well, what do you instinctively do is you don't sit back and say, well, it's too loud, I can't do anything. You lower the volume. You grab the remote or the tuner and you lower the volume. And we need to do that day to day, moment to moment, because we have we have a control or something to say about what we consume. So in these moments of difficulty and challenge, I think one of the first things that people need to recognize is they have something to say about how much information they consume on a daily basis and the effect of a lot of that information on themselves, on how it makes you feel helpless or it makes you feel anxious or worried, or you start projecting the future. To lower that volume, I think, can make an immediate, it can't make it go away. I don't want to say that, but it can lower to the point where we can start to think clearly about a way forward.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful point. And I noticed it for myself this weekend. I hit an overwhelm. It was midday Saturday, and, you know, between the different projects and shows and work that I have going on, I felt overwhelmed. I was like, oh my goodness. And you're trying to keep up with the news and with friends and with social media and family members. And that's what had me just turn off my phone for 24 hours and enjoy the stillness and silence. And I feel more rich and grounded than I have in a long time, just being able to have that space. Because I think what you're talking about is we can't be great leaders. We can't be great parents or friends or colleagues if we don't have the space that we first give to ourselves, or that even acknowledging that we need that space, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think on a day-to-day basis, there's a number of things that people can do and we need to do for ourselves and for those around us to manage the circumstance. One of the things is, I think, that a lot of people are inclined to do, rightly so, is to monitor the media, right? So there's news coming out about statistics and things that are, you know, that affect us or might affect us, and there's prognosticators and making predictions and things like that. So one of the first distinctions I want to share with your listeners is under normal circumstances, it's really important to be well informed. You know, we want to know, you know, what's everything that's going on and being well informed. And I think in these circumstances, it's better to be sufficiently informed. What I mean by that is we face an endless source of information, and a lot of that information is what people think about what's happening. And I think being sufficiently informed would be, you know, the expression is better is the enemy of the good. So good enough is good enough. So if you know what's happening to be sufficiently informed, that's okay. And to try to push beyond that, we run the risk of going too far and over-consuming information. It's akin to almost overeating. In this moment, it might be better for us to consume a little bit less, to be more intentional about our consumption of information, because the tendency of going too far, once we've gone too far, it can have adverse effects. So I think sufficiently informed is actually more desirable right now than being well-informed.
Okay. And how can you tell when you're full? Because I know some of us struggle with that. We have the third or fourth piece of chocolate cake because we don't even realize until it's too late that we're full. Do you have a standard or something that you would suggest as how people might approach it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a number of indicators. How does it make you feel? Does it start making you feel anxious? Are you starting to project? Does your head start spinning and you start really racing ahead? And if you could start to make you almost sense that this is making me feel in a way that I'm losing a bit of control, or I don't feel like I feel like it's managing me, then versus I'm managing it. So I think in these moments there's a few things that people can do to as you get up to that threshold is for as simple as and obvious as it might sound is the power of the word no. And I with It's just like, no, not now. So for example, for me, what I'll do and I recommend to people to do is I call it like the 7 to 7 rule. So I generally speaking, don't start consuming information and news until 7 in the morning. And after 7 p.m., and this isn't a hard and fast rule, so if people go, you know, a little bit earlier, a little bit later, it's not bad, but it's not like the first thing we do in the morning. We wake up is to check the news, and we do it all day long. There needs to be moments, right? So the start point and the end point need to be set. Like, it's almost like a store. Stores open at a time, and then they close at a time. And in the tendency, like, well, my brain is going to be open for business 24/7 and consume, is not a healthy thing. So setting it sort of a start, an open time and a close time, I think is a healthy indicator that you're trying to become sufficiently informed instead of over informed.
And what would you say that, okay, so we've learned to tune down the noise of the news, perhaps. Let's say that you have the noise, physical noise of things that you can't turn off, like, for example, calls coming in from your boss, children. How do you begin to, not delegate, but how do you begin to come up with a system, especially given that people around the world are all now working very close quarters, which can sometimes bring out not the best in us?
It was interesting. I was on a conference call a few days ago, and I was talking to this guy. Visual communication. I could he had the camera off, so I could just hear his voice, but I could hear the sound of his chair, and it was squeaking, and you could almost audibly hear how he was swiveling in this chair trying to do 10 things at the same time. There was a moment in the conversation, I didn't say it, but there's a moment in the conversation, I'm like, just sit still and face one thing at a time. So the first thing to do is one thing at a time. And you can practice that during the day. So when I'm at home, like, okay, I need to go up and I need to change laundry, or I need to deal with something, one thing at a time. The temptation is I can do 10 things at a time. Well, we all know multitasking. There's tons of research on it. It's not an effective way of acting under normal circumstances. In this set of circumstances, it's even more important than ever to remind yourself one thing at a time. Okay, and dedicate my focus and my attention to my child, or to my flatmate or my roommate or whoever that might be. I'm going to do one thing at a time. And I think what it does is it starts to train us that we can exert some discipline in a circumstance that can be very chaotic. You know, like everything is happening at once, and certainly it's a crisis, right? In crisis, the best way to perform is to tackle one thing at a time. And I think it breaks the day down into pieces that can really become much more manageable.
Yeah, I love that. And a tip that I'd love to offer to everybody out there, I've had this guest on the show before too, Arthur Joseph, had turned me on to the 168-hour exercise. Have you ever heard of that before, Joe?
I have not.
That's how many hours we have in a week. And so years ago, I was instructed to go through my week and to actually account for every minute, every second of every week, and to look at how and where I spent my time. And when we become masters of our time and masterful in how we interact with our time, that's when we begin to create and be able to create balance and new opportunities for ourselves. So, for example, my 168-hour exercise, you know, 3 years ago is going to be very different than it is right now. And one thing that you just brought up, I know for a lot of us, it feels like I don't have enough time to get everything done that I need to get done right now. And what I would invite people to consider is maybe make a 168-hour exercise of how many hours you used to spend, you know, before, you know, this experience that we're having right now. How many hours would you spend on different things? How many hours would you spend commuting? And then look at the things that you no longer have to do, going to the hair salon, spending time in traffic, and then see if you can reallocate that time to your new 168 hours that you have and use it in a way that empowers you to get the things done that you feel like you don't have time for and that you're trying to shove all in the same place.
That's precisely right. I've heard the expression that I share in the book, Noise. It's treat time in abundance, not scarcity. There's a ton of it. We have a ton of time in a day. In a crisis mode, it's very important for people to have a schedule. when do I do certain things, especially when you're in a when people are in a circumstance that's like we are right now, that's very noisy. There's a lot of things competing for our attention. Having a schedule can be a very powerful way and a very simple way without getting, you know, like neurotic about like to the minute. But I mean, you know, from 8 to 8:30, I do these things. And from 8:30, just a general sense of the cadence and flow of the day, you'll find, to your point, an abundance of time to do things. And in that, it allows me to lower the volume, and I will be in a moment where I'm supposed to do one thing and something else will compete for it. For example, like looking at email, right? So I'm working from home, and I have my personal life and my professional life are merged. There's no line. Well, schedules allow, I mean, you know, obviously things can compete and blur those lines, but like, no, I'm not going to do that right now, because now I'm supposed to do this. And having a set schedule can be, for a lot of people in an environment where there's almost no rules and no routines, a simple way of saying, I'm not going to do that right now because that's what I'm going to do at 10 o'clock or 3 p.m. or whatever. A general sense of that, I think, could be very helpful to lower the volume for people throughout the day.
Yeah, I think that can be extremely helpful in any circumstance. And do you have any particular tips? I know your other book is about being brief and communication. And I think now is also a very important time to be mindful of how we're speaking, what we're saying, and when we're saying it. Would you like to share with us any tips from your other book, Brief, about how we can communicate effectively during this time?
I think this is an enormous opportunity to be connected with people. We were talking offline, you know, had this happened 10, 15 years ago, we're in an entirely different place, because we now have a pervasive technology, an access to connect with people. I'm connecting to people with friends in Spain and friends all over the world, and the technology is available for us. So I think the opportunity to communicate now is at our fingertips, and we feel that. So what I would encourage people is use it. You use those opportunities to connect to people that you haven't talked to in a long time. Ironically, even though I wrote a book called Brief, I would say in these circumstances, there's a time and a place for a long conversation. Have them. Seek out people that you haven't talked to for a while and have a long conversation. I talk to my sister near daily. She lives a few states away. I can't see her right now. So she and I will talk once a day, and we'll have a half hour. We'll have longer conversations than normal. And I think that is an opportunity to have those kind of conversations, to really talk about lowering the noise. And in many cases, you'll start to see life kind of feels a little bit more normal when you're talking to people. And in some of those conversations too, remember that it's possible, given the gravity of the situation and the uncertainty of what we face, that if the conversation starts to go south, change the topic. If I know it sounds like a kind of a crazy analogy, but if you're in a car and somebody was driving it and they were sort of careless and you're like, oh, we're going to go off the cliff here, grab the wheel. You know, so, all right, just change the topic. I mean, if you feel like this is, I'm adding bad to worse and it's going from worse to even more worse and it's becoming a little bit like a snowball effect, change the topic. And I think those are moments where, and I think reverting to how we communicate is, we need to manage this more intentionally than ever. And I think some of those moments can be a very powerful way to direct conversations in a more positive direction.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think it's about bringing our consciousness and our awareness to the conversations we're having. It's very easy to have Corona conversations all day long and then to be inundated and again be overwhelmed with the noise of what's going on in the world. Something a leader shared with me earlier today, named Sister Jenna, had said that there's this word Karuna. Now the word Karuna is an Indian word that means compassion. And I love this game that people, I think John Raymer and a few other people are starting to create, is about Karuna. And so let's replace the word Corona with Karuna and start talking about compassion. So much like you said about grabbing the wheel, if you notice that you're going down a rabbit hole of talking about the death and destruction or whatever is happening in the world, take the wheel and say, hey, how are you compassionate towards yourself today? How were you compassionate towards one of your colleagues? How were you compassionate towards your boss? I think that the more that we redirect our conversations to one of compassion rather than worrying about what we can't control. It's going to give us our freedom back and empower us to be able to be healthier and more balanced in our personal and professional lives.
It's precisely right. I think in these difficult moments, these circumstances, it's almost like this crisis has forced the world to pause. We again, under normal circumstances, our life is as there's a velocity and a speed of our lives. So when I was writing the book Noise, one of the things that I was really talking about is how we start to manage the noise so it doesn't manage us. In these set of circumstances, it's even more true. So one thing to do is in the quality of our listening when we talk to other people is to not focus on myself, but to focus on the other person. And there's a part of the book, it's around present listening. I don't know if this term exists, but I think I coined it. And it's present listening, and words like present, like now, I'm going to be in the moment, and I'm going to give the other person the gift of my undivided attention. So in these moments where I can really just listen to people, in this listening, I can reassure people, I can encourage people, I can see how they're doing. There's all these things that we can do to be compassionate, to care for people, that this circumstance is literally giving us a massive opportunity to stop and to focus on other people. And that's what a crisis would do, is to care for each other. And you see this happening in a remarkable way across the world right now, is people are stopping and they're taking care of each other. And that's amazing. And despite all the difficulty here, all this noise and all these things that are making your head swivel on your shoulders, that people would actually slow down and care for each other is amazing. And I think as we look back, this is something that I've been thinking a lot about lately, is we will get through this crisis. How we get through it will really set what we've learned as people about ourselves and each other. And I would love to have us look back and say, what did I learn and how did I manage this set of circumstances to make myself and those around me better? You know, and that would certainly lower the volume because it's difficult for everybody. This is remarkable in how its ability to touch so many people in profound ways that we can find ways to help each other through some really, honestly, pretty difficult times.
I agree. And one of the really fun and amazing things about this time, to your point about distractions and noise, is that by all of us having Zoom, a lot more Zoom and FaceTime meetings than ever before, there's less room to do 20 things at once. I think that your example of the meeting where the guy's camera was turned off, a lot of the meetings I've been in, cameras are on or FaceTime is on, and it's almost commanding that you focus your full attention. It was one thing if you were in a room full of 20 people in a meeting and it was easy enough to check your social account or whatever that might look like. But now in these circumstances, because you're really looking at the other person's face in a lot of these meetings, it's really calling us to be focused and to be 100% present and listening, like you said, to the other person, which I think is deepening and enriching our relationships because of it.
I think you're right. I think the opportunity to do this is all day long, right? To echo what you're saying, I think in a professional context too, one of the difficulties that people have that is an opportunity to really put their attention is how they stay connected with their coworkers. In what I might describe as like a shift from very organic communication, like, hey, I see people, I bump into people at work. It's very natural. I don't have to plan for it. It just happens. But now I have to think, okay, how often do I talk to these people? And when I do, what's the quality of it? When I'm checking in with my boss or my coworkers or my key contacts, I need to be way more intentional about when I do that. And more importantly, how I do it. So because organizations are trying to maintain continuity, people are trying to stay connected, but we got to start thinking like, hey, I haven't talked to this person in like a week. They're not a mind reader. They don't know what I'm doing or what I'm up to. So I might need to make it a point to force me to start thinking of other people and how I connect or I stay connected with them. That's a good thing. I mean, that's the best employees, the best professionals do that naturally. In this circumstance, it's forcing us to be more intentional about how well we connect with each other when we do actually talk to each other.
Yeah, I completely concur. And I think it's increasing all of our EQ, our emotional quotient, because there's a level of intimacy that we're all experiencing right now. That level of intimacy is at the personal and the professional level, intimately, because to your point, we have to be very thoughtful about how often am I calling that person? Am I doing it in a meaningful way that's maintaining that relationship? People are still changing jobs in the midst of all of this. I've talked to several people just today who are in the midst of job changes. And we can't take it for granted that, oh, I can just let it go and not call that person, or take for granted our family members or whoever we might be sharing a space with. This is a great opportunity to observe what is the quality of our relationships. And I think that's such an important inquiry for us all to play around with and have fun with as we continue to explore this unknown territory. So do tell me, Joe, is there anything, I know you've given a lot of great tips from noise today about how to handle things and how we can focus in these uncertain times and with the additional noise that we wouldn't normally have. Were there any other questions or anything that you wanted to share today as a takeaway for our listeners?
I think one of the most important things to do is for people to schedule time for silence and treat it as a non-negotiable. So in the morning, that it's 15 minutes, in the afternoon, if it's 15 minutes or half hour, whatever it might be, for a person to have quiet time for themselves to disconnect from technology, just you and your thoughts, but have it scheduled where I could, you know, go for a walk, or I can just think, or I have this list of things that you can do. Like you could, it's like thinking and thinking and listening and reading and complaining. And I mean, there's all these things you could do in silence. It doesn't have to be just, you know, I think silence scares people because when they show up to silence, it sounds ironically very noisy because they're like, I don't know what to do. You know, it's quiet. This is moments to practice how to use quiet to our advantage because it allows our brains to reset. This is one of the reasons why I recommend like the 7-7 rule. So in the morning before 7 o'clock, that should be quiet time. So if you're in a house, maybe you set an expectation like, hey, before this time, we're just going to be like tech free, quiet. This is a quiet time. We're going to read. It's just going to be quiet. So it's we unplug, but it's got to be scheduled. Not like, because I think would be really a lost opportunity is that we insert noise into this moment when we are forced to pause. I mean, this set of circumstances is broad. Like it is literally forcing. Again, there are a lot of people right now that are hustling like crazy because they're working like healthcare workers and delivery people and all types of sectors of society are working harder than ever. But a lot more people are sitting stuck at home. And they are now in a different set of circumstances where they can't, if you look back 6 months from now, you say, well, I didn't have time for quiet. Yeah, you did. You sure did. You had plenty of it. Use it to our advantage. To create new routines that are good for us. They're good for us to sit and write a list of 100 things that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for shoes. I'm thankful that it's sunny. I'm thankful for my friends. There's a million gratitude lists are powerful ways of using quiet or maybe if a person's going through difficulty to complain. I'm going to schedule complaining. I'm just going to complain about this whole thing. I think it's terrible. And that's a healthy thing too. You know, I'm not going to hide it. Whatever the person, but quiet time, silence as a scheduled activity every day really lowers the noise, and it's good for us. It gives our brains a chance to reset, and it's healthy. And I think those are. I think I would put that at the top of my list. Number two, right after that, would be saying no, not now. but top is would be quiet time.
Yeah, and it's so funny. Everybody keeps saying the same thing. As I mentioned, Sister Jenna too was. We were talking about that in the spiritual practice that she is a part of. In their centers, they actually set an alarm on their phones every hour on the hour to pause for 3 minutes in silence. Now, that might seem a little scary for some of you out there, but imagine that even if you set an alarm once a day, maybe at noon every day, for 1 minute, 30 seconds to either allow a breath, you could breathe into the count of four, hold to two, and out for four. Or you could take that time to journal or just sit and be with your thoughts, all the great ideas that Joe just gave. I think that everybody's saying the same thing. This is a gift, and we're not meant to rush through it or brush it aside. And we're being given this opportunity to enjoy the silence, to relish it, and to enjoy the pause, and to create something new. We can't create anything, a new idea, a new company, a piece of art, without space. And so we're being given a space to create something new. So thank you so much, Joe. I think that's a wonderful piece of advice. You know, make sure to say no and then give yourself the space of quiet and silence when you need it. Joe, if people wanted to pick up your book or find out more about your organization, where would they go to do so?
The easiest place to go is noisethebook.com, and we have tools and I have access to my podcast and some other reflections and perspectives on managing this. But I think one of the things that I just want to leave people with is, yeah, it's normal to feel helpless. It's a very, very noisy environment we're in right now. But we need to manage the noise or it's going to manage us. So we can take the step practically. We can do things in our day, scheduling time for quiet, saying no, that we can start getting the upper hand on a situation that for a lot of people feels a bit dire and helpless.
Got it. I love that. Thank you so much. And where is there anything else that you would like to tell our listeners? I know you have your other book, Brief, and you have your Brief Lab. If people wanted to find out about working with you or your organization, where would they go to do so?
Yeah, the website we have is thebrieflab.com, and we're putting out a lot of resources right now to help people navigate this moment, and we're doing a series of free webinars and a number of things just to reassure and guide people through these times. But thebrieflab.com is a great resource, and then noisethebook.com is a link to the book Noise.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Joe. I'm so happy that you were able to come on today and that you were able to share with us a little bit about how to stay focused and how to declutter our noise in our environments and in our heads. So I think those are some wonderful tips. Even if we get nothing else out of this, just remember to enjoy that time of silence. 1 minute a day can make all the difference that you need in your life. And speaking of silence and meditation, I want to remind everybody that every Monday, I would love for you guys to tune in and join us on awaketvnetwork.live. Every Monday at noon Pacific time, we have a coalition of global unity and our leaders from around the world. Today was Sister Jenna. Next week is Roland McCready from HeartMath. And we have so many wonderful teachers who are going to be facilitating weekly free meditation experiences. Today, Sister Jenna offered 3 different tools and types of meditation. So if you're new to playing with this idea of silence, come play with us, join us, tell your friends about it. You can find a full list of our upcoming teachers at our website, coalition4globalunity.com. Again, that's coalition4globalunity.com. And it's free to join us every Monday on awaketvnetwork.live. And please do share this show with other people. You know, obviously a lot of people can use the wonderful advice that Joe shared with you today. And we want to make sure to support people in any way possible as we all go through this human experience that we're having together. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Do feel free to check out the show later in the week on iTunes. The full episode will be available on Get Yourself the Job. And I'm sharing weekly content as well about flexible working. I think there was an article I got today that I'll be sharing this week about scams to watch out for right now in the workplace with some flex work scams that are out there. So I'll share that on the Get Yourself the Job page on Facebook. So it's been a pleasure having you on, Joe. Thanks so much to everybody who tuned in. Stay safe, stay happy, and stay healthy.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.